Boulder's own Stephen Joffe has a dedication to ancient, esoteric traditions that spills into his practice and teaching of both martial arts and Qigong. He's mastered both the role of student and teacher, centering progress on the energy system, the individual being in the whole. And he's my neighbor, fortunate me, Robin, here with Tributaries. Stephen, has your own evolution of practice and mastery grown out of the martial arts into a Qigong practice? And what is the origin of these two practices? Was one born out of the other, or are they two separate things?
When we talk about Qigong, the common spelling for it is Qigong. But when we say it, we say Qi, energy, and Gong, work. So Qigong is, strictly speaking, a bit of a misnomer. And when we talk about the cultivation of energy, which is really what Qigong is, again, Gong, work, cultivation, we would say that Qigong is the grandmother of martial arts. Mm. Martial arts was always passed down, you know, father to son. And so when we look to the martial arts, we say, you know, martial arts is a grandfather. And these two traditions have been coming to us across millennia. Of course, when you're young, you know, you're physically capable, so you end up inside of martial arts. But when you come to the afternoon of your life, you then have to fill the gaps in your physical decline with spiritual energy. And that's where these meditative practices from Taoism, what we call Qigong, really stand up. And so this is, you know, what I've been doing since I've been 30 years old. I started practicing Qigong meditation. I'm almost 60 now, and it works. I'm doing martial arts all day, every day. I have extreme skill, and my students enjoy that because they get to learn to shape their physicality into a skill-based shape.
Yes, and it's A, beautiful that something addresses, as you just put, the afternoon of our lives, and B, you find in that afternoon you don't need that same type of force that you need as a younger person and a younger soul, regardless, I think, of whether you're fighting or just moving through your day. So it's really beautiful how those two things work together. And one thing when meditation came over from India, for instance, of course, that's not the only place it came from, but when it came over, it was a sitting meditation for the most part, and that movement piece was missing.
Right. This is what I would call the bridge, and this is exactly what we specialize in, is bridging physical movement with meditation. And we learn that our physical movement is allowing us to absorb cosmic energy. And when you're young and you're growing up and becoming strong and surviving in this challenging world, this is very important. But then as you get older, you come to a place where you have the necessity to internalize that energy, that cosmic power, at deeper and deeper levels inside of you, yourself, as you walk to a place where you're going to complete, you know, your life or your existence in this physical form this time around.
Yeah. What is the lineage of your Qigong practice?
The lineage goes all the way back to Zhang San Feng, the originator of Tai Chi in the 12th century. And he was practicing a style of meditation called the Subtle Flows, which are based on the eight extraordinary meridians. And the eight extraordinary meridians are the root structure to the energy system. And they're so powerful that they made way for us being born into this world as physical beings. And, you know, this is really what we're practicing in, is in this lineage, which goes back, of course, into the mists of time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that. Stephen, how have the subtle flows of power, and we'll discuss maybe later what that word power really does mean, how has it changed for you over your years of practice?
More than anything, it's allowed me to be possessed of the strength to address the what I call the relative dimensions to self. And from that place, it's having mastered the relative dimensions of self, having had the energy and, again, the strength to do that, you arrive at what we would call the absolute dimensions of self. And this is, it's a deeply humbling experience and quite wonderful, actually, and something that everybody can benefit from.
Yeah, absolutely. The world benefits from you having it, and then we all as students can benefit as well. And so in talking about all of this, I've heard you talk about the psychological state and signs of a young student. Talk about this and how you see development happen.
Well, a lot of people come to the training and they're coming to the training from what I would say is a psychological position. They've come because they're in search of discovering who it is that they are. And we ignore this psychological aspect in our training. And what we do is we address what you are. What is your anatomy? How is it that we can tidy up your physicality such that your energy system can come to rest on your physicality, and in turn your physicality will come to rest on your energy. You attain a state of neutrality, and then you begin to understand how it is that you function. So by understanding the what and the how, you can then arrive at that place where you can make what we would say is the I am statement. You are part of this universe, a very small part, but a very significant part.
Yes, in that smallness there lies everything. And that point of neutrality that you're talking about is what maybe I was alluding to earlier in the use of the word power, because it's never power over.
Correct.
And that's something that certainly has gotten lost in a lot of the world.
Yeah. We have pardon the pun, but we have a particularly powerful practice called the Bagua. And the Bagua practice is specifically designed to lead you to what we call your true physical center. And here you can attain a state of neutrality, body, mind. And you begin to understand, you know, that the brain is actually not the seat of the mind, but you have many layers to your consciousness. And it's through, again, coming to this place of neutrality that you learn, really, you have an obligation to be gentle with yourself first, and then gentle with others. And in this way, you can bring the whole field into what we would say is like resonance or harmony. And this is what we would say is true power. Because, again, we're just a very small part, but a very significant part of this universe. Undoubtedly, if humans could learn to work together based on this neutral understanding, resonance of energy, life force, then I think we could establish peace on Earth.
Yes, yeah, no doubt. Well, hearing you say the word psychological, saying it as psychological, it does bring out a lot of different layers and levels to that state or to the meaning of that word. And the other thing with this work in relation to emotions is as potent and as important, I think, to recognize and talk about, because emotions are with us. They're important. They're important not to stuff. They're important not to be a total distraction in our lives either. And so finding that balance is a key. And once again, is that something you may not address, but in the full practice, those things will find their balance.
We address this most definitely. We understand that the human being is primarily an emotional creature, and our emotions are very, very powerful. At this point in time, the human psyche is very fast. In fact, we can say that the human psyche, it's on fire. It's too fast. And we need to balance this with what is a water type energy, which is specifically, you know, the feminine. We need to nourish ourselves and Mother Earth. We need to calm down. The clever mind is what we would call the fire mind. Mm. And this is, you know, very scientific, you know, largely used for purposes of warfare. Unfortunately, this is the truth. And this needs to change. It's quite simple. You know, the human being is what I would call an alchemical creature. We're bound by the universal law of the five elements, which says that water controls fire. Water came first. First came the yin, and then came the yang. And so inside of our practices, this is exactly what we address as we bring people in. And whilst they're using willpower, believing that they're learning to fight through martial arts, they soon come to realize that the only way to do that is if they can be gentle with themselves first. At that place in time, they calm down, they close their eyes, and they start meditating. They enter their inner world. And this is how we master, again, the relative dimensions of self. Because once you have an awareness of this inner world, it changes how it is that you're perceiving the world. And you didn't have that internal perspective before. You come to a certain place in your life and you realize that what you were looking at outside of you was deeply distracting and in fact pulling you away from true self. So you get to learn to undo all of these erroneous belief systems and achieve balance in your life so that you can, you know, row, row, row your boat gently down the stream, merrily, 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 because life is just a dream.
Yes, and it's so beautiful how that dream is shared. Interesting to see the attraction that happens. You just told a story off mic about being down at the farmer's market yesterday teaching. Why don't you share that on mic? Because it's so true. Things become so palpable when you start exuding this energy without trying.
Yeah, I was with a student of mine who's been training with me for a quarter of a century. We're standing alongside the Boulder Creek, and we were doing Espada y Daga, or sword and dagger, from the ancient Filipino martial art of Kali. This is a very, very powerful martial art. We're involved in a dance with each other. And the level of power and accuracy that we exude, it's tangible. People standing watching us were, how would you say, they were wowed by what we were doing. And then as we walk away from this, you know, intense energetic field that we've created, it comes into your being. And, you know, for the rest of the day, you're humming with energy, which is, you know, a great way to get through the day.
Stephen, in your most recent book, A Meditation on the Coupled Master Points, you talk about the anatomy and physiology of the energy system. And I think this is all part of bringing this kind of work into a new discussion and with a new vocabulary.
This is really what Qigong is. Qigong is a language of energy. And that language of energy, it describes the geometry to your energy system. Basically, your energy system has what is an inner kingdom. These are the deep sources of energy that are allowing your physical form to function. And then from your organ systems ride the meridians of qi. And these meridians of qi are connected to elemental energy. And that map of energy channels or meridians on the surface of the physical human being, we call this the landscape. And through this type of awareness and understanding of your inner kingdom and your physical landscape, you can use your energy to shape the terrain of your life. So you're dealing here with, you know, very high-level pattern recognition, because the human energy system has been traveling with the evolution of the human being since the origin of our cosmos. We must acknowledge that as human beings, we are elemental beings. We're composed of cosmic elements. This understanding is very deep, very ancient, and it gives us an ability, again, to shape our lives. And this is what I teach. So when people come to me, you bring them to a place where, again, they learn to develop extrasensory capacities, things they weren't aware of before. And these are very useful tools in our lives. In fact, I like to think about the teaching and what it is that people are learning is really you're delivering a technique to somebody, and anybody can use that technique for their own purposes. And how that's going to manifest, well, we can't say. You know, I'm not God. I'm not a magician. We know that science doesn't work. So it really comes down to, you know, each individual developing, you know, what we would say is their kung fu. Now, kung fu, fu is consciousness, and kung is the work of consciousness. But in order to arrive at your ability to do this work of consciousness, kung fu, you're going to have to learn how to cultivate your energy, qigong, because you're going to need energy to do that and focus. And so really this is what the energy system provides us, is just that focus.
Yeah, so you really can let go of everything that's outside, and it is such an incredible journey.
It's fantastic. You know, I've spent a quarter of a century studying the human energy system, and I've mapped it into my awareness through meditation. I don't really need to look at a book. I can actually see my energy system in meditation. And my meditations are not arduous or anything like that. They're actually quite fun. They're very playful, quite imaginative, in fact. And they take, what, 10 to 15 minutes? And they empower you for an entire day.
So science, of course, has enhanced that mental or intellectual understanding of a practice like this. You just mentioned that you have a way of going into your body and really sensing and seeing and feeling and knowing these energetic systems in the body. So how do you look at that with the science? Do you think it's enhanced the process at all, or...
Of course, science has enhanced the process. You know, Eastern and Western wisdom traditions were always meant to work together. So with the advance of our technology, Qigong, the science, the Eastern science of Qigong energy meditation, lines up in perfect parallel with Western scientific understanding. I was trained as a biochemist inside of a hospital in London. I worked at the CDC in a hospital designing drugs against AIDS. I'm a hardcore scientist. And, you know, the Qigong has added the energy to that understanding. So again, the understanding of, say, like our physical anatomy and the physiology, as they call it, when you add the energy into that, now you have something which we can say is very functional. Now, we know that essentially, you know, Western science is, it has a tendency towards the inanimate. So by leaning on Eastern wisdom traditions, we've been able to like really animate our science. So we've brought it all to life, and, you know, we're winning on two scores, not just one.
Right.
And that's brilliant. That's the balance we were talking about earlier.
In your latest book, A Meditation on the Coupled Master Points, can you give us a brief description of what those master points are?
We have a series of points on our bodies which are called the coupled master points. And these points are so powerful that they made way for our formation in the embryonic state such that we could be born as physical beings. The coupled master points are responsible for the activation of the 8 extraordinary meridians. Again, this is the root structure to the human energy system. The power of the 8 extraordinary meridians lie both below and above what we say is the five elements, or your organ system channels, which run on the surface of your body. And these organ system channels is what an acupuncturist works on. And these channels are considered to be streams of energy. Yet when you activate the deeper and higher source of power, the 8 extraordinary meridians, it provides you the opportunity to access what we call rivers and oceans of energy. So they're a much, much deeper source of power. In fact, we can look to something like the practice of Qigong, and we can say it's at least 10 times, if not 1,000 times more powerful than acupuncture. In fact, acupuncture is designed to lead a person to a place where they establish a state of health and they're capable of sitting in meditation and finding their own way to fortify themselves in their lives. Unfortunately, when acupuncture came into the Western culture, it was relegated to the place of being curative. It was never curative. It was always preventative. So Qigong, again, it really steps up to the plate, puts everything in order, you know, the way it should be.
How would you compare, contrast to the energy you're talking about to the Kundalini system? I know that's a word that the broader public is aware of.
I have some understanding of this. The big difference is inside of Qigong is we're always attaching ourselves to our true physical center, our center of gravity. We understand that the energy inside of what we call the cauldrons, and in the practice of Kundalini yoga, they call the chakra, that these cauldrons and chakra are in fact vortexes of energy. And all of these vortexes of energy are condensing and coalescing at your true physical center, what we call the pearl of qi. or inside of the tradition of Qigong, this is also your spiritual pivot. So you learn to pivot from, again, your center of gravity. And that's a big difference. But essentially, the idea in Kundalini is the same as inside of Qigong, and the practice of the eight extraordinary meridians allows us to thrust out into the entire field of energy within the cosmos using what we call the piano wire of life. The piano wire of life is your Chongmo, your thrusting channel. And this is where the cauldrons, or again, what they call in the Kundalini yogic tradition, the chakra lie. So this is the deepest source of energy for humanity.
Right, the source tuning fork,
right,
of sorts. Yeah.
And so, you know, this is fantastic stuff because, you know, Qigong falls into alignment with, in fact, all wisdom traditions. And, you know, this is a truth that I've come to realize in my practice, that in ancient times, you know, these masters, they were communicating through meditation. It was a conscious thing. It was energy. They understood the innate intelligence of the human energy system, and they allowed it to do what it is that it had been doing for millions of years. And so it's fantastic that we have access to these traditions, and how the vast majority is not aware of this. Well, we understand the distractions in the world at this point in time are at an all-time high. Yeah.
You write activating these master points is the pinnacle of achievement. Does that present differently for each student, would you say?
It took me 20 years of practice to enjoy the revelation of this contemplation on the coupled master points, which is what I've captured in the book. So, of course, every student coming to it is going to get an impression or a revelation according to where it is that they are in the work in their life. You can only receive, you know, what it is that you're due. So it really does come down to, you know, work on awakening your extrasensory capacities so you can find your way and enjoy, you know, the fruits of your labor. And then, of course, you can take that out and you can share that joy with your fellow human being and inspire them on the same path.
Yeah.
Again, it's this idea of resonance. How do we get into resonance with each other? How do we fall into correct relationship? Well, you know, the energy is truth. It's beyond religion, race, and wealth, and poverty, and illness, and death. It's truth. And so it's a wonderful place for people to hang out, you know, inside of silence, because that's where the language takes you.
Yeah. Well, there must be so many amazing stories from those ancient times with the masters of this practice. Do you have any burning questions about Qigong that you wish you could ask one of the original masters or one of these masters from history?
I think in keeping with the tradition, we have built upon what the masters have taught us. We've upgraded the language because humanity is expanding at a faster rate than ever. Humanity, we can look at it and we can say this is really a film of consciousness, human consciousness across the planet, thriving on Mother Earth, which is an infinite source of nourishment for humanity. And so the masters who were meditating in the ancient past, they had a lot of spiritual power. The things they achieved, I think we can hardly imagine. But we must understand that the legends, these legends are true. They've traveled to us because they're energy. And we have to, again, as teachers inside of the tradition, they understood we are being given the tools so that we can upgrade the language to meet the challenges of the future. So it's very progressive.
Oh, absolutely. In order to be true, it would have to be. I mean, right. That's its essence.
Right. And that's the most wonderful part about it, I think, to me, it feels like surfing. It feels like you're riding the crest of a wave. Mm. And if you've been surfing before, I mean, this is how life should be. You should be buoyant in your life. Mm. All too often, we end up feeling like, you know, rock, and we're sinking. And it's like, yeah, no, that's a warning system.
Right, you know? Yes. It's a good warning sign, isn't it?
Yeah. You need to learn to lighten up a little bit, play, because the only way you can really learn is if you're capable of play. You know, you have to go back to like your childlike state. Mm-hmm. And again, this is the great power of the coupled master points, because they talk in the tradition about returning to origin. And this is exactly what it is if you understand how it is that you originated and why it is that you manifested, you know, on this physical plane, then I think, you know, you've been given, okay, the ground on which to say, okay, now I'm going to fulfill myself in my life because I know that this is the task that I've been given.
Right. And floating is okay.
Yes.
The wave will come.
Yeah. Always.
So, Stephen, what are you careful about not losing in bringing these ancient art forms forward for yourself and also as a teacher?
Here I would say standards, is we have a very high standard. You know, my teachers put in a lot of hard work. My main teacher in Qigong, James MacRitchie, he dug the understanding of the 8 extraordinary meridians out of the trenches. This understanding was lost in the 16th century at the collapse of the Ming Dynasty. So here we are, we're sitting in the year 2023. That's, what, a period of about 500 years, half a millennium, that this source of power for humanity has been lost. And what I did was, as I took it, I incorporated my understanding through martial arts, the martial force, and how to use this power in a practical way so that you could demonstrate the energy, your ability to connect to earth and heaven through center and to be essentially impregnable. That place and time, again, everything goes into resonance. You can turn the power off. So inside of, you know, the teaching, to me, it's very important that we maintain a standard. There is the tradition, there is the science, and then there's this demonstration of energetic truth. What is the skill here? Can you be gentle? Can you help others? This is the main thing.
Beautifully said.
I've been teaching in Boulder for 27 years now.
Yeah.
That's actually just more than half my life. And Boulder's a wonderful place. In many senses, it's a mecca for world champion athletes, yogis, practitioners of Tai Chi. And, you know, the Qigong that I've been able to develop here as a consequence of the environment and the types of students that have been coming to me over, again, you know, more than a quarter of a century, we have something which is highly refined. In fact, our technique is extremely sophisticated. And we're ready to take it out into the world and to give it to some other people because undoubtedly they would enjoy it quite a bit.
No doubt at all. And Stephen, I know you do teach internationally. How can people get in touch with you to find out more?
I have my martial arts school, which is Martial Works. There's a website for that, martialworks.com. And then there's my Qigong school, which is Inner Path Qigong. And that's also innerpathqigong.com. And this is the best way to access me. Send me an email. Tell me what you're after. And I like to teach. You know, on the back cover to my book, A Meditation on the Coupled Master Points, I put a statement from the I Ching, which is, the sage does not hoard. I've always had a policy inside of my teaching that as soon as I've learned something and I've developed a skill, I will immediately share it with people because it's for their benefit. And that in this sharing, it comes back to you and it morphs and it evolves and it becomes increasingly beautiful. So across the years of teaching in Boulder, I have inside of my group of very well-trained students, we have what is called a thread, where the information we've been traveling inside of is revealing itself to us. Come into it, what we would say is the form, the dance, be it, you know, physical movement or meditation. And then once you've got the structure to this form, you start kind of dancing inside of that form. And then ultimately you dance out of that form. And it's really quite liberating. It's alive.
So I definitely recommend chatting it up with your neighbor. You never know who you might find. Thanks, Stephen Jaffe. For anything Tributaries related, it's tributariesradio.wordpress.com, and our podcasts are where you hope to find them. I'm Robin Clare. Thanks for staying tuned.